Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. 407-DGS. Join Rachel and me tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Hardee's on Route 3 in Illinois. We will have our DGS stocking caps, but they'll probably be gone, I'm going to guess, by about 11:30. So if you want one of those, they're $20. I am fine with $20, but we have a lot of people who give more. If you're going to give anyway, get yourself a stocking cap. I'm just going to become super annoying, okay? I get it. I only have between today and next Thursday, and we still need tens of thousands of dollars. So I completely understand. I sympathize. I empathize. Everyone is busy. Everyone's doing their own thing. But you have to remember that if you have food to put on the table this holiday season, you are ahead of many people. There are thousands of people in the listening area right now. Some of them are listening right now who don't know how they're going to feed themselves or their kids. That's a real thing. We've met several of them. We had a guy call in yesterday whose son gave his birthday money to Operation Food Search because he had been a backpack kid. And he called in and he was just too emotional and crying. He couldn't even make it through the story. These are real people that need our help. And all I'm asking you to do is go through Hardee's, get something great to eat, give a dollar, five, ten, whatever you can. Come see us tomorrow or next Thursday. And if there are any companies out there who will write a check for $500, $250, $1,000, that would just be fantastic. So there you go. I'm such a hypocrite. I don't know how email works, but my Yahoo account I've had forever is 99%. I don't know what it is about me, but evidently Brazilian women are dying to date me. Also, they figured out that I need compression socks, so maybe they know me pretty well. But then the other part of it is like I get 10 email a day from the Special Olympics.
Really?
To the point now that I just hate them because here's their move. Hey, Dave, it's Eric. And I'm like, Eric Brokaw? And I open it up and it's like, from the Special Olympics. Like, I just get so mad at people, their hand out all the time. And then I come on here and I have my hand out all the time. So I get it. So.
Compression socks.
At least you can admit it. Yeah. You see the parallels.
Oh, sure. I see the hypocrisy.
My
new Brazilian wife is going to find it.
I get those compression socks.
Not her first
too.
Project, clean out that email
Not
inbox.
Just willing to date me. They're dying to date me.
Brazilian singles in your area.
I have to bring them over. But I guess they've heard the show. I don't know.
That seems really legitimate.
It really does.
Yes.
Yeah. Heart wants what the heart wants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk about this story out of Melville. We just can't buy a good story in St. Louis. Do you, ladies, you know this one?
No.
So in the Melville School District, actually grab the story here so I get it correct. A Missouri school has placed a teacher on leave after children at an elementary school were asked in an assignment to decide how much they should charge for slaves. Fifth grade students at Blades Elementary School in Oakville were given the assignment for a social studies class. It sparked backlash after it was posted on social media. On Monday, the school's principal sent a letter home to parents saying the assignment was culturally insensitive and that the teacher who created the assignment expressed significant remorse. I have a copy of the assignment right in front of me. It says, "You own a plantation or farm and therefore need more workers. You begin to get involved in the slave trade industry and have slaves work on your farm. Your product to trade is slaves. Set your price for a slave. These could be worth a lot. You may trade for any item you like." And this poor kid filled in three and then marked it out and put $5 for two slaves.
What grade is this?
Yeah.
Fifth.
I I have heard this story. I heard it this morning. I didn't realize it was Melville. What was he thinking?
I mean, he could have just used any other example other than slaves.
Anything.
You just went out of your way to write this weird problem about buying people.
Well, it was part of the larger project was they're learning about westward expansion. So they're in that time period. And there are
seems like they're doing math.
They're trading they're trading apples and they're trading other goods and this
and
this slave part is part of it. So it's not like they just randomly said we need to make a math problem and let's use slaves. It was part of the time period that they were not that I'm just saying this for context.
I'm not
defending it.
Learning about slavery 100%.
You need to learn about slavery
in graphic terms 100%.
Yeah. Agreed.
But like Rach said, there seems to be many ways to do this.
Yes.
But the one way you don't want to do it is to make it a mathematics problem where you say, hey, kid, what would you charge for slaves?
Right.
And then this poor kid wrote three and marked it out and put $5 for two slaves.
Oh. We got a fire sale on slaves right now. Like, that is insane.
Yeah.
I mean, prostitution is the oldest profession out there. That's what they always say. When does a kid ever have to figure out how much they would pay for the? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's a
thing. What are you charging for your hose?
And maybe you should learn about it to an extent, but why am I doing a math problem about it?
That's exactly.
Fifth grader's like, bitch, better have all my money.
Wow. Yeah. There's
that is nuts.
There's so many better ways to teach American history.
Is there anyone on the other side of this? I would love to have you call or tweet 314-241-9797.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not Mr. Political Correct. I think that you can teach about slavery. I think you can be very graphic. I don't think it has to always be like, and we're the worst country in the world.
I think
we should all be ashamed.
Yeah.
But this seems like a really flippant thing to do.
It was easily avoided, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole the term learn from your past mistakes. You need to learn about history, even the ugly, bad parts of it. But to unnecessarily make the project about, well, you're the slave owner.
You're the slave master.
Yeah.
How much are you charging for this guy over here?
Right.
That is insane. So has the teacher been let go or are they just suspended?
Yeah.
Administrative leave.
I feel like they're gonna be
while the district
let go.
Investigates.
What if this teacher, who I have no idea who it is, what if they say, my heart was completely in the right place. I realized that was really dumb. I'm learning. Please let me come back. Do you go, okay, no harm, no foul?
No, because I don't think I can trust their judgment.
Yeah, I mean, you can say that about anything. You can do anything and be like, guys,
man,
I see now that that was wrong. I shouldn't have tried to kiss that kid. It's like Tony said, that's really poor judgment at the end of the day.
I almost never call for people's firing. And, you always want to try to... I feel like, almost everyone deserves a path to redemption. But this one is... Pretty tough to justify.
Hello, Andrew. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was just weird hearing you guys talk about this because when I was in high school at a St. Louis high school, I won't say which, I had a professor or a teacher that went over this kind of idea, but the purpose of it was to get us to understand that it's immoral to put a price on a human life. And it was done in the class. It wasn't like a homework assignment with no context. So I've had something similar, but this feels a little weirder. And it also feels like the kids are maybe too young to be talking about it in this way. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with creative teaching. I'm totally fine with that. I'm fine with some sort of exercise that is uncomfortable and comes out on the other end with, yeah, we sold people like oranges or cows. I'm fine with that. Let's break some eggs. I don't get this one because it seems like this poor kid filled it out. He's like, I want $5 for two slaves.
You don't get this one because it's gratuitous. It's not just, hey, kids, because fifth grade's probably about the time you would learn about the Civil War and slavery. That's probably your first taste. But they're not going into graphic detail. They might tell you, like, yeah, they bought and sold people. It was terrible. But to write out the problem that's like, so you have a slave, and you're going to market with your slave, and your slave is up on the block right now. How much are you charging for your slave? It's insane. It's gratuitous. It's too much. And it's fifth grade. I get what the caller was just saying. That is a thought experiment that they did in high school in a class where I'm sure it had been set up for a period of time. But to just throw this on a worksheet for your Western expansion project in fifth grade, it reads like a math word problem anyway. Yeah. None of it jives.
I'm not an educator at all, but in fifth grade, it seems to me appropriate to teach the fact of it.
Yeah.
And in junior high, maybe you can teach specifics like, yeah, this is what slaves sold for. I don't know the answer to that. I would be actually interested to know, like, did a slave cost as much as a horse? Did they cost as much as a, you know what I'm saying?
Like,
that's interesting facts that fill in my picture of slavery. The combination of 11 or 12, whatever you are in fifth grade, and, you know, just let's set a price. I agree with you, Rach. There are ways to do that, and this seems to be not one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that guy who called a minute ago and said that there was a thought experiment or whatever, a lesson in school that was to teach you that you can't put a price on human life, that's not what this is. This is literally putting a price on human life because they are asking them to that the assignment says, and we like you said, we
and
see
how
it.
Bad
we have
do you
a
feel?
Copy of it.
Like this kid. This
it
kid
says,
wants $5 for two slaves.
Your product.
How bad do you feel when then someone goes, well, yeah, little Johnny, there's no price.
Well, did
it's
you
okay.
See the
and you're
hint?
Like, you told me to make
yeah.
a price.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Did you see the hint? The teacher gave them the hint that said, hint, slaves are very valuable. Like, so don't put too low of a price on them because this is a very
highly... Don't get screwed on your slaves.
This is a highly valuable product. And yeah, fifth grade is too young. There's better ways to do it. You should teach about slavery. It's not something you should avoid, but this is not the way to do it.
Hello, Jeff. Go ahead.
Hey, Dave. Nice to talk to you. Hey, real quick. The ignorance of the teacher is ridiculous. He's an educator, and he's gonna bring this to students. What's coming up in the education system in the future if this is what they're going to present to the class?
Jeff, I'm going to leave you on here and bring on listener Kyle. Kyle, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
Good, man.
I got saw you at Cyborgs and got to see you at Hardee's the other day.
Cool, man. Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember you. Yeah.
Yeah, long beard. Yep. Hey, I had a question. You didn't specify, was the teacher, did they specify a race? A white teacher, black teacher?
Not in the story.
Okay. Would there be any more outcry if it happened to be a black teacher doing that?
I mean, I think the practical answer is an African-American teacher would get a little more, okay, what's this about? I think that's the actual answer, right? Don't
right.
you guys agree?
Right.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
That doesn't change anything for me.
No.
But I do agree, and I thought about that. What if this, because we don't know, maybe it was.
Yeah.
It's possible
for
that it was.
For some reason, I doubt it.
I also doubt it, but we don't know that. And nothing that my take doesn't change one bit.
Yeah, same here.
But I think that some people would react differently.
Hello, Carrie, go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to say, I think what he did was extremely wrong. But you guys seemed a little shocked about the things that they teach in fifth grade. By the time my daughter was in fifth grade, she knew about STDs, she knew about drugs, she knew what they look like, how to use them. They just teach them all that stuff quick and early in grade school.
Yeah, I guess I'm...
Don't be shocked.
Yeah, Phoebe's mom kind of handled that kind of stuff, and maybe that was for the best. I probably would be shocked.
Well, Phoebe's also had a private education.
Yes.
I'm sure it's... Yeah, I don't know what's going on in the typical public school classroom. You read, like, horror stories of... I don't know. I read a story a couple weeks ago that some school district is teaching six-year-olds about how to I don't want to say it on the air, but they're teaching them sex ed and they're teaching them certain things.
They're teaching them how to?
Yes. Crazy. It's crazy. Maybe it was like a fake news story, but I saw it on several different news outlets a couple weeks ago, and it freaked me out.
I am 55 years old, and I remember the moment that we had sex ed. It was in eighth grade, Roxana Junior High School, taught by Doc Davis, who was kind of weird, and he put a giant overhead picture of, I think it's called a shanker. It was like a sore from an STD.
Oh, my.
And I just remember, because we're all giggling, you know, it's like, oh, it's time to get the sex talk. No one was ready for the 3-foot shanker. And this was like 1977.
Ugh. All right. How you spelling that?
Let's, like Michael Shanker. Let's go to break so I can hear what they're teaching 6-year-olds how to do. Welcome back, 4:30 DGS. Dave Murray joins us. Hey, Dave.
Hello there.
Dave, did you hear that the setup there about the slavery assignment in Melville?
I did not. I was busy. The Pink Slip Express is happening at my old station, so I've been involved in that for the last half hour.
Oh my goodness!
Well, you know, new owners took over.
Wow.
And, took over in September, I believe. So they're a nice holiday present for a lot of folks.
I'm supposed to be on Thursday morning. Maybe I'm not. Or maybe I'm hosting. Maybe I have a show. Maybe I'm the meteorologist.
You might be.
Well, I want to talk to you off the air. So the story here, we're going to take a couple more phone calls is why I'm setting it up, is that a fifth grade class in South County had a question about slavery, and the question was basically, you need to set the price for your slaves. A lot of people got pissed. The teacher's been suspended. A lot of people calling and saying, this is terrible. But several people calling and with differing opinions. Tom, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, I just had a quick question. Has anybody spoke to the teacher to find out what was actually going on? Because it may be something that we're missing, and he hasn't had a chance. He or she hasn't had a chance to speak up.
Yeah, the principal spoke to the teacher and said that the teacher was incredibly apologetic and remorseful. So those are the only details I know. I don't think that the teacher has spoken to any media or given any explanation. And all we have is a statement from the school district saying that this person has been suspended and they're very sorry. And that was about it.
Yeah, I'd just be curious because it seems that schools get so scared of everything all of a sudden. And it just there's a possibility we could be taking this teacher totally wrong.
Yeah, I would certainly love to hear their explanation.
Yeah, I'd like to, yeah.
I'd love to know what was in their mind.
I would like to hear what, but I...
Rachel, can you make the point that you
There's almost no way that you're going to convince me, though.
Sometimes you just make a bad judgment call. I'm not saying, wow, this teacher was 100% a terrible person. No, they could have just had a misstep, but it's still a misstep. And when you're educating fifth graders, you need to have the proper judgment.
And I get that you're trying to put yourself in that person's position. You're trying to teach them, we're putting you in the position of the person that lived in that era. Okay, I get
yeah, but
the thought process, but it's just not the right way to teach, in my opinion.
Missed the mark.
I understand what Tom's saying, though. I was just saying on the break, I think a lot of times there's so many situations where we react too strongly to something that's not actually a big deal. Like the clickbait headline gets somebody in major trouble. Then you look at what really happened and it wasn't really that intense. It wasn't really that bad. I think as a society, we are also conditioned to be a little suspicious. You're either one of those people who grabs on to the outrage with both hands and doesn't let go and loves it, or you're someone who's tired of it and you're cynical about every single thing like this that comes across your desk. But I think sometimes that makes us end up arguing for or defending things we would never normally argue for or defend. But you're just so defensive. You're like, oh, this teacher probably blah, blah, blah. No, to me, this is a pretty hard line. That was a stupid thing to do. You know, sex trafficking is a pretty big epidemic in the world today. I think it would be incredibly inappropriate to be teaching children about that and then asking them to set the price for what you would sell people who are being trafficked. Just don't have a fifth grader set a price on a human life. It's crass. Like I said earlier, it's gratuitous. It seems really easy to not do it. So I don't necessarily, I do get the rush to defend if you're so used to people having an overreaction to things, but I don't think that this one is an overreaction. I think it's a pretty blatant bad judgment call.
Yeah, your point is well taken in that most of us, myself included, and I don't consider myself a partisan, I don't consider myself an ideologue, but I can admit that I'm on the defensive. And when I read a story or I hear a story or someone gives an opinion, way too often I'm immediately emotional as opposed to, that's very interesting. Let me think about it. Let me research it. I'll get back to you in 2 days. I will shoot from the hip. And Rach, look, I'm a big enough man to admit it. There were like 3 times this year that I came in here with a story. And then you were like, actually, Dave, that's not the story.
I was like, actually, Dave?
actually.
Like, for real.
And I was really embarrassed because I read the headline and took it at face value, and it was just bait and switch. That's not what the story was. So, yeah. Dave, how are we looking?
One other thing. The teacher may not be allowed to talk about this yet. Even though he's been suspended, hasn't been fired, just suspended.
Yeah.
I'm betting there's some document out there that says you can't say a word.
And I absolutely, one of the 4 or 5 things that I am sure about, I hate zero tolerance. And so this teacher would have to do some convincing to me about what their intent was and what their thought process was. But I don't believe in zero tolerance.
No, you want to hear the.
I want to hear. Yeah. And if this is a teaching moment for everyone, great. We don't have nearly enough teaching moments where someone says, I screwed up and I would like another chance. And here's why you should bet on me. And someone says, yes, I will give you that chance. That doesn't happen nearly enough today.
Mm-hmm.
Like at Fox 2 today.
Yeah.
How bad was the bloodletting, Dave?
It's not, from what I understand, it's not huge yet, but I think everybody was hoping that it wouldn't happen until after the first of the year.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
Yeah, that's...
I feel that.
Yeah.
Dave, did you ever get fired in your long career?
I have been fired.
Who was dumb enough to fire you?
I would say it was a mutual parting of the way. When I left the Boston station to come back to St. Louis, I had been offered a contract, but it was for less money. It was a pay cut. And what was happening leading up to that was already in the works for me to come back to St. Louis. So it was one of those things where I knew I wasn't going to take that job in Boston again, just because I wasn't going to take a pay cut. But I also knew what was coming down the pike.
And so
I went into that general manager, who was probably the worst guy I've ever worked for in my life, told him I was leaving, and he went absolutely ballistic. He told me to get my stuff and get out of the building. And I said, okay, I've still got like a month and a half left on this contract. He said, I'll cut you a check right now. I said, perfect.
Wow.
Wow, is right.
I love it.
That's high drama.
That is high drama.
Then I showed him my banana and I walked out the door.
Take that. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. But you know what? You look back on things like that and you say, okay, that was a good thing.
Yeah, sure.
It was absolutely a good thing.
Yeah, a lot of people, I mean, it sounds dumb, but people are done favors all the time by getting fired.
I agree with that 100%.
Doesn't look like it when it happens, but.
No, not at all.
I mean, none of the times I was fired was a favor, but maybe to my clients. So, Dave, are we at the coldest point, or are we getting colder?
As far as winter or
this week? This week.
We will be the coldest point tonight and into tomorrow morning. And, you know, it's cold. It's not like that November cold stretch we had, but it's cold. And then we start a little uptick come Wednesday afternoon, still chilly. Thursday, a little bit better. Friday, hovering around 50 Friday. Then we start to go down a little bit on Saturday, though not much. And then Sunday, we're in the 30s again. And as mentioned yesterday, watching a little something for Sunday night into Monday. The trend is for colder temperatures, so it may be a snow event, though I'm not I'm not really excited about it right now, mainly because there's so much that has to happen in the atmosphere. But again, we keep it on the table that Sunday night, Monday could bring some form of snow to the St. Louis area.
Cool. And still very little chance for a white Christmas, you think?
I think at this point, I've got to stick with the long range forecast and say still a green Christmas. Because even if we get snow Sunday night, Monday, I don't think it's going to be a lot and certainly would not be there, would not last that long. Though you asked me the question a week and a half ago, could we see a 2 or 3 inch snowfall before Christmas? Yes, I still think we could see that.
That'd be nice. It'd be pretty.
Yeah.
All right, Dave. Thanks. We appreciate it.
You got it.
So when we come back, I want to talk about this Lizzo story. I can't believe I just said those words.
Yeah.
But it's really, really, I think it's interesting and just sort of a new social norm kind of thing. Quick break, right back, DGS. 445 DGS. Tomorrow morning, Rach and I are going to be at the Hardee's on Route 3 from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. We hope that you will come out and you will buy a stocking cap or you will write us a corporate check or you will pay a dollar for a sticker. And the next Thursday is our last day. Next friggin' Thursday. Damn. We have some work to do, people. Get yourself out to Hardee's. Be generous so that we can feed hungry people this holiday season. Every bit of food, every penny stays local. None of this is going out even to, like, Kansas City. Plenty of people in need right here in St. Louis and in Illinois. Rachel, you want to do your thing?
What's my thing?
What we talked about today.
Did we do headlines yet?
No.
Oh.
About Operation Food Search.
Yeah.
I think it's a good time.
Okay, I can do that. I don't have my checkbook with me, but
it's okay.
We were talking last
week. Didn't you also say you want to talk about Lizzo at some point?
Yeah. These are actually related to topic. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
No, we were talking with Judy last week about how $200 sponsors a kid for a whole year. And I don't know, I had been thinking about donating because I wanted to do something, but I didn't know exactly what to do, and I didn't know what was exactly reasonable for me or whatever. But when you put it in those terms that it's only, I mean, at the end of the day, $200 to make sure that a kid is eating for an entire year, like, that's doable. That's doable for me. And I'm going to make a donation right now to sponsor a kid for the year. So I hope other people will make that decision. If that seems doable for you in your financial situation right now, I can't think of a better way to spend that money, especially at Christmas time. You know, if your family's already taken care of with gifts and stuff, or you don't necessarily need to do a bunch of extra stuff, allocate that towards Operation Food Search, because they're going to take that $200 and take care of a kid for an entire year.
Yeah,
so.
Good for you.
Oh, that's nice.
And I love that number, too, because it's tied to something. I agree. Do you give $10? Do you give $1,000? I mean, you give what you can, but $200 feeds a kid for a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty amazing. So
and their family in a lot of cases.
Yeah, siblings.
It goes a long way. So
Now to Lizzo's butt.
So on Sunday there was a Lakers game.
Somebody remind me who Lizzo is.
Why men great till they gotta be great? She's feeling good as hell.
You forget anything? Here, I'll show you.
Nope.
Sue, sing it for him.
She was singing.
I did my hair. Wait, hold on.
Wrong key.
I went my hair back and forth.
That's Willow Smith.
Yeah.
She does her hair toss, check her nails, baby, how you feeling?
Remember Kirsten Gillibrand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She sang that. She was like, baby, how you feeling?
Yeah.
I miss her so much. Kirsten, babe, why did you jump, like, get out so
Can
early?
Can you imagine Kirsten and Marianne Williamson ticket?
2020. I would vote for them, and I'm not
I would
kidding.
Vote for them.
They might win because of all of the ironic votes.
Yeah, I got it now.
So Lizzo, you know, Lizzo is like the new queen of everything.
Yes.
She released this album.
She can do no wrong.
She can do absolutely no wrong.
Has she had another song besides that one?
She said Good as Hell. What's the other one?
The one that's out now. Why Men Gotta Be... Okay, let me find out the title.
And it's all off the same album?
Yes.
Okay.
She went to a Lakers game on Sunday night. Her whole thing, too, is body positivity. So it's like she's got catchy songs, and then she's a bigger girl, but she has a ton of body positivity. So she's been put on this pedestal as, like I said,
kinda like Meghan Trainor was
queen of everything. Yeah. Yes. Very similar to that. And she's posted a photo recently of, like, she was naked, but her hair was covering her body, and everybody was like, yes, queen. Like, go, Lizzo, go. You tell the haters to shut up. Whatever. She went to a Lakers game on Sunday, and she wore like a t-shirt dress with the butt cut out of the back, and all she wore was a thong with it. So her entire ass was hanging out during the Lakers game. And she's famous, so she's obviously being put on the Jumbotron and on TV. And I think she was twerking in her thong with nothing else, with her butt sticking out. And people, I think, reasonably were a little perturbed. Like, why is your butt hanging out at a public event? Why are you putting your bare butt on a stadium seat at a Lakers game? That's disgusting.
Ooh, that's
you
a good
get
point.
Sick. Don't do that. There are children here. What are you doing? But then the internet backlash to that was like, wow. So you're just going to tell a curvy lady that we don't want to see her body?
Yes, I am.
If she were thin, you would not be saying a thing.
Yes, I would.
I actually would. If there were a celebrity, if Jennifer Lawrence, thin by most standards, went to the Lakers game in a t-shirt dress with her thong out and her entire butt out, I would be like, what are you doing? Put your butt away. I would say the same thing if a man, if Jack Nicholson goes to like every Lakers game, right? If he was out there in a thong, I'd be like, cover yourself. This is inappropriate. Once again, you're sitting on a stadium seat. It's disgusting. But the fact that people had anything to say about it, a certain segment of the population goes, wow, okay, fat shaming. This is how it is. You're just trying to keep a curvaceous woman down.
Any normal person because, goes to a basketball game
because
like
that's
this.
What so many people get up in the morning hoping they can find a way to keep a fat person down.
Yeah.
Is there one person in the country that is online all the time trying to find a pat? Come on.
Any non-celebrity goes to the game like this and they're kicked out.
100%.
Oh, yes. Yeah, for sure.
And should be.
They're kicked out.
And then the typical internet clapbacks were like posting photos of the dancers, the cheerleaders, bless you, in their little booty shorts and their bras. Look, I get it. I don't think that's appropriate either whenever the cheerleaders go out and dance and they're wearing basically nothing and shaking their butt. It's not my cup of tea, but they're not wearing a thong with their entire butt out. It's just so over the top. If someone were wearing that at a beach, at a family beach, it would be too much.
Here's the thing. We really do worship celebrity in this country, and it's fine, totally fine, if you're overweight and you're sexy and you want to show your body. That's great. I don't mean that ironically. I'm being completely real.
I thought she looked very beautiful and sexy in the naked
photo she posted.
I was like, hey, I would never do it, but you look great.
But
good
there
for
is
you.
Not an underwear model in the world who it's okay to go to a public place where kids are and families are and show your butthole. It's just not okay. And when people get all up in arms like, oh, you're fat shaming, curvaceous, she's black, it's this, it's that. No. Have we lost all decorum? Are there no rules? Have we lost all class? That's what it's about. My God.
Yeah.
Come on.
Sitting on a chair.
Yes.
That is the grossest part.
When that point was brought to my attention, it disturbed me greatly.
Yeah, as soon as you said that, I thought, okay, and there
she's in the
we
very
go.
Fancy chairs, though.
Still,
were you saying I'll never be there? That's a good point.
Yeah,
this is one of those touchstones where it's like, this is what we need to push back on. Like, I don't care about Lizzo either way. I wouldn't know her if she walked in the studio right now. But it's
you wouldn't know her because she'd be in a thong.
It's okay to say that it's not okay to wear a thong to a Lakers game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fine. Whew. Because we're on the right side of this.
I saw a tweet that was making fun of the whole backlash, the backlash to the backlash.
Yeah.
And they were like, Lizzo killed a child. But the internet's reaction was way worse. Basically saying that since she's overweight, since she's a black female, they're going to find any reason to paint her as a victim anytime there's a criticism. I think I'm not the person who normally says things like that, but this was a completely valid criticism.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't need to see your butt at the basketball game.
I can't believe we even have to say it.
I know. And people would tell you that you were not being inclusive, that you were being
a
fat shamer.
Everyone keep their pants on.
Hey, that's true.
I'm including everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.